Jane Klebb, you describe yourself in the dedication to the book as a mom with a minivan. You founded Bold Alliance, and now you're chair of the Nebraska Democratic Party. Talk about that journey from mom with a minivan to chair of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm like a lot of moms who have started to look around in politics and really realize that if we weren't going to get involved, we were going to have kind of the status quo of same old, same old. Not a lot of creative solutions being put forward. And I think when moms get engaged in politics, you know, we bring not only a fierce sense of multitasking, which a lot of, you know, moms can relate to, but there's also a lot of heart that we bring to politics. And when we look around, especially as we went through the last 4 years of Donald Trump, you know, a lot of compassion and heart was missing. And everything that I do, I really do try to bring not only clear political strategy and communications, but a lot of heart and connecting people to what matters in their community. So, you know, I've gone from this journey of being involved in the youth vote and kind of working on eating disorders into more partisan politics, because I think, you know, unless we get better people elected, we're going to kind of keep on going through and experiencing these issues, big problems that our country faces.
She went from being a champion of eating disorder treatment to politics. That's quite a leap.
It is a leap. And I think when you first say it, you know, you can't even think how possibly those two are connected. But, you know, I was in treatment when I was younger for many years for an eating disorder. And, you know, I come from a, you know, basic middle class family, and our insurance at the time did not cover intensive eating disorder treatment. So even as a teenager, I was very aware how unfair the healthcare system was. And as I got older in graduate school, I decided to really focus on the nonprofit management and being engaged in eating disorder treatment and facility and engaging women in treatment and how to use their voice for activism as a tool for recovery. And throughout that process, I just kept on seeing in politics, when bills were being introduced, like the mental health parity bill that was, you know, back when Secretary Clinton was a U.S. senator with Senator Paul Wellstone, the issue of eating disorders was being discussed, and essentially the lobbyists in D.C. were saying that eating disorders had too high of a mortality rate and were too expensive to treat, so therefore they weren't going to include it in the mental health parity bill requiring insurance companies to cover treatment. And that's really when I, you know, got my back up and decided we have to start bridging all of our stories and our families who faced the perils of eating disorders and lost loved ones because of eating disorders and really become political and go to our senators and members of Congress and even governors to say, there's a connection here. We have to force insurance companies to cover mental health and addiction. And the only way that we can do that is through laws, right? Public pressure and corporate campaigns is not going to be enough. So that's how I started to get involved more in partisan politics, because I saw the issue that I deeply cared about of making sure that people could get the treatment they needed, needed a political solution as well.
That's a lot of work and a lot of dedication. You know, I read in the New York Magazine article about you and the founding of the Bold Alliance, or a group that you're now calling Bold, that you wanted to steer clear of the Keystone XL pipeline issue. Talk about that.
I did. You know, at first, I, you know, didn't come to politics because of climate change or kind of, you know, fighting pipelines. You know, I really came to politics through my own experiences and mostly through the lens of tackling an eating disorder and forcing politicians to do the right thing. And so, you know, I then, when I moved to Nebraska, I married a cattleman, a young rancher at the time who was in politics as well, and started to look around for a job, right? And one of those jobs was with a union in our state, because I had moved from Washington, D.C. to Nebraska. And it was working with a union called SEIU to get Obamacare passed. So we were doing a lot of work in both urban and rural communities, having people tell their stories to mostly Senator Nelson, who was our target to get his vote for the bill, and really showing that our families needed health care reform and making that case to Senator Nelson. When that all ended, I started Bold because being fairly new to Nebraska, I was then kind of year three into Nebraska now being my home and raising our family here, I started to really realize there was no group on the ground in Nebraska that was using politics to bridge urban and rural issues, that there was a real divide culturally as well as how people talked about issues between urban and rural Nebraska. So we started BOLD. And then 3 months after we started, I started getting phone calls from some folks who knew me mostly through my husband because he's big in cattle ranching in the state, asking if I had heard about this pipeline that was threatening their land, and they were having this foreign oil corporation who was going to take away their land by eminent domain. And for me, you know, I didn't get involved in Keystone because of climate like some of our other allies were, although I quickly learned on what an issue that was for climate. But I got involved because there was just a sense of right and wrong, and a big corporation coming into our state and telling small family farmers and ranchers that they didn't have a choice on whether or not a pipeline got built across their land that had been in their family's hands for over 100 years. So that's how I came into the pipeline fight. And to be honest, that's the kind of message and frame and the heart that we brought to the fight for those 10 years that we fought it, really bringing a new voice, if you will, to the climate change world that was mostly existing kind of on the coast.
It definitely is a bridge because you weren't, you know, as you said, it wasn't about the polarity between environmentalists and the fossil fuel corporations. So what I'm hearing is that this bridge sort of opened that up.
That's right. And I think in Colorado, you've seen this too with fracking, where you have really an unlikely alliance of people. Yes, of course, environmentalists, and I consider them some of our strongest allies. But you also have landowners, ranchers, tribes, communities of color who are realizing that, you know, big oil and big gas really don't care about their lands. They don't care long-term about our water. What they care about is making the most profit in a short time. And then they can often sell those assets off and walk away from it when our communities then are left to clean everything up. So, you know, I do think because of the fracking boom and because of kind of an oil pipeline boom that has happened over the last 15 to 20 years, you've seen unlikely alliances forming in our states, mostly in the Midwest and kind of Colorado, the Plain States, really pushing back, essentially saying, we're not going to let big oil take advantage of us because we know that we'll be left with all the risks.